Welcome to the Deep Dive. Our mission today isn't just about what media you consume, but the plumbing behind it. We're doing a deep dive into the infrastructure of delivery, the distribution platforms and media that make sure content actually gets to your eyeballs and ears.
It really is the essential but, you know, often invisible machinery of modern communication. And when you step back, you see, it all falls into two fundamental camps. You've got the boundless world of online and then the tangible physical world of hardware. Understanding that distinction and all the trade-offs that come with it is just crucial if you want to navigate the media industry.
Right, and we've got a lot of ground to cover. We're going to map out the internet backbone, then look at the physical hardware, everything from the phone in your hand to, like, a kiosk at an airport. And then we'll finish up by looking at tangible media, comparing the cost of, say, a Blu-ray against the astronomical expense of printing on paper. So when we talk about online distribution, the simple definition is just media sent using the internet. But let's ground that. What actually is the internet backbone?
Think of it like the core high-speed infrastructure. It's the global digital freeway that all your content, everything, relies on. Online distribution isn't just about a website. It's about specialized services that use that constant high-speed connection.
The rise of streaming just illustrates this perfectly, right? Take video. Netflix, whether you access it on an app or a website, is completely reliant on that core internet structure to deliver films and TV shows. It's a huge amount of bandwidth.
Exactly. And that reliance, it extends to audio, too. Spotify is the prime example for music and podcasts. It depends entirely on that persistent connectivity. That's what allows for a near limitless library without you having to store anything yourself.
But increasingly, platforms are trying to do everything at once. They become these mixed media hubs. Facebook, for instance, seamlessly integrates text, photos, and high-def video all at the same time. It's not specializing. It's just maximizing distribution.
And what's fascinating here is the core vulnerability of this whole system. The speed of the internet is its biggest advantage, right? It enables scale and immediacy. But that reliance is also its Achilles heel. If your connectivity drops because of an outage or you're in a remote area, the entire distribution chain just breaks down instantly.
Okay, so if connectivity is that big of a weakness, why haven't we seen a major comeback for physical media? Or is that why these specialized offline platforms still exist?
Well, that leads us directly into the physical realm. The market has basically accepted the connectivity risk because the cost saving and the global reach of digital are just, they're too immense to ignore. But that then brings us to the platforms that are physical, starting with the hardware itself.
A platform, at its simplest, is just the combination of computer hardware and an operating system, so a laptop running Windows, for example. But this strategy gets tricky when we look at specific platforms designed purely for consumption.
Right, we're looking at specialized hardware and OS combinations that really dictate how content has to be designed in the first place.
Let's start with the dominant force, mobile devices. I mean, all smartphones and tablets, whether they're running iOS or Android, mobile is the primary access point for billions of people.
And the strategic challenge here for distributors is it's absolutely critical screen size. When you're delivering media to these platforms, you have to carefully consider those smaller dimensions. It's not just shrinking a video. It's about text readability, button size, you know, visual impact.
It requires a completely different approach than, say, the living room screen. Which, speaking of which, interactive TV. This is kind of the evolution from the old analog set.
Yeah, interactive TV allows for much greater user interaction. It's a multimedia ecosystem. It distributes normal broadcast TV, streaming services, dedicated apps. And crucially, it lets you display your own media, like photos and music. The TV becomes a personal hub.
Okay, so let's look at some highly specialized hardware that still plays a massive distribution role, especially offline. Kiosks. These are those machines, usually with a touchscreen, designed for one specific function.
Kiosks are functional specialists. That's the key. They distribute very focused media to accomplish one goal, and they're reliable precisely because their functionality is so limited. They're just robust, isolated systems.
What are the best examples to illustrate how useful they are? We don't need a huge list, just the main functions.
Well, we can break it down into three key roles. First, you've got your transactional kiosks, like a self-service checkout. The media is limited to, you know, scanning barcodes, showing graphics on the screen. Second, informational kiosks, common in museums or airports. They distribute maps, directories, photos, maybe with some background music. And finally, you still have internet kiosks. And they're critical for providing public web access when someone doesn't have their own device or connection. Their existence really underlines that need for dedicated access points.
All right, so we've covered the platforms, the screens, and devices. Now let's shift focus to the actual content carriers, the physical media itself. This is everything tangible, from giant posters to the discs we used to buy.
And we can start with paper-based media. Books, magazines, maps, and all that huge outdoor advertising like billboards and bus shelter posters.
And here is the stark reality. Paper-based media is significantly more expensive to distribute than online media. Why is that cost gap so huge?
The cost difference is just monumental. You have to account for manufacturing, the printing, and then the physical logistics like transportation and installation. And that cost just compounds with complexity, especially color. When you print in full color, you need four separate inks, CMYK, that's cyan, magenta, yellow, and key, which is black. Every single color means a distributor has to pay for four inks and perfect alignment.
So the high cost of that CMYK printing forces creators to go for maximum impact over volume for physical ads. That makes digital the only real option for quick, large-scale campaigns. That's the takeaway.
Precisely. If you need a million different ads very quickly, you go digital. If you need one ad that stops traffic for 6 months, you reluctantly pay the CMYK bill.
Moving into the digital but physical realm, let's look at discs. CDs. They were the standard for music. They store 74 minutes, or about 650 megabytes, of uncompressed audio.
And that 74-minute limit wasn't an accident. It was famously designed to hold Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. But the key technical point is uncompressed. This means it's lossless, studio-quality sound. This fixed high-fidelity format is why CDs are still relevant to audiophiles. You know, it's a sharp contrast to the compressed audio from streaming services.
And then DVDs for films and TV, they store up to 9.4 gigabytes on each side.
Yeah, that 9.4 gigabyte capacity is crucial. It lets the distributor offer a much higher quality experience than most streaming can consistently deliver, depending on your internet speed. That capacity is what sells the idea of ownership and guaranteed quality.
Okay, finally, we have removable flash memory, so memory sticks, SD cards, the little micro SD cards in phones and cameras, a massive storage mechanism.
What's fascinating here is that while online dominates, flash memory serves a very specific, crucial purpose. It is the robust offline solution. This type of storage is so important if the internet is not available. It allows for easy, high-capacity media sharing without any reliance on connectivity, bandwidth, or, you know, some distant server.
We've covered the entire ecosystem. Now let's apply this. So if you, our listener, had just produced a new high-quality natural history program, say, about deep sea life, how would you distribute the program itself, and then how would you advertise it?
Well, this immediately requires a strategic mix. You have to balance reach, quality, and cost.
For the actual program, you'd need maximum reach, so broadcast television is probably a must for that established audience, but you also need to satisfy the high-quality market.
And that's where high-capacity physical media comes in. Blu-ray and DVD. This caters to the consumers who want that guaranteed quality and perpetual ownership. And of course, streaming platforms are just non-negotiable for universal access and modern habits.
Right. And for the ad campaign, you need to be everywhere, balancing speed with impact.
Absolutely. The fast, low-cost channels start with digital images on every relevant website. But to get that stop traffic visibility, you transition to physical media. So high-impact billboard and bus station posters, despite the high printing costs. And you'd probably use newspapers, which still capture very dedicated, demographically focused audiences.
So what this all means for creating content is that distribution isn't just flipping a switch. It requires a strategic look at all the platforms and media, considering mobile screen sizes, the budget constraints of print, storage limits of discs, and making sure the content is accessible both when the internet is great and when it fails.
#tagoutro. That was a pretty comprehensive look at how content moves, from that total reliance on the global internet backbone for services like Netflix, all the way down to the enduring utility of kiosks and the financial realities of printing in full CMYK color.
And we noted that while paper-based media is so much more expensive to distribute, removable flash memory is crucial when the internet isn't available. So when a massive distributor chooses their path, balancing the immediate expense of tangible guaranteed delivery against the risk of connectivity issues with cheaper streaming, what is the true cost they are factoring in? Is it purely monetary? Or are they making a deeper strategic trade-off about audience access and the permanence of their content? That's the question we'll leave you to explore.